Hello and welcome to Russians with Attitude. Happy Масленица to you, Кирилл.
Happy Масленица. Today is actually Forgiveness Sunday, Прощённое Воскресенье. So forgive me, Николай, if I've ever wronged you, and forgive me, dear listeners.
So I forgive you, and God will forgive you too. And forgive me as well for my misdoings, if that's the word. Yeah, have you had your блины yet?
Yes, my wife made a bunch earlier this week, and I ate almost all of them.
My dad was eating on a straight diet of блины every single day, and he ballooned up to 100 kilograms. It's insane. So, yeah, it's a special day, really. So it's a Forgiveness Sunday. It's also Масленица. It's also the last day before the Great Lent that starts tomorrow. So no meats, no alcohol, no dairy products for about 2 months. I will try my hardest to follow the Great Lent, and I advise you to do the same.
Will you do the full fast?
I will try to. I will eat fish. But it is allowed on certain days. The hardest part is probably dairy products, and even like creating a special diet that which is tasty without all of this, right? And that you will not be sick after eating. So, I will report to you of my progress. Yeah, I will try to do the full stuff, except for smoking, I guess.
So, yeah, same. I'll probably not be super strict with the dietary things, but I'll try to reduce. I'll try to stay away from alcohol. I'll reduce cigarettes and coffee and internet.
Yeah, but also it is the day of the elections, so it's a major Sunday. And let's discuss the elections. It's funny to read Western MSM and see them frothing at the mouth because Russia has elections at all. It doesn't really fit into the dictatorship narrative. And more than that, it makes their own elections seem dubious. They attempt to mock Russian elections, claim that it's entirely fake, that the candidates are controlled, that the outcome is predetermined, etc. But if you compare Russian elections and American elections, they're more similar than they are different. Like, US offers you to choose between two rich geriatrics selected by powers that be. Russia offers you four guys selected by powers that be. And not all of them are 90 years old, which is a huge plus, I would say.
Yeah, you know, I can understand it when, like, someone from, I don't know, Switzerland would make fun of the Russian elections or criticize them. But hearing this from Americans is ridiculous. Like, they have genuinely, like, third world tier sham elections that are by now, like, light years away from the Russian elections. Even they are like some Burkina Faso tier elections in America.
Yeah, they're not even digital, and the mail-in ballots or whatever. And when people are acting up because the mail-in ballots are weird and sketchy, those people get put in prison or killed, like, you know, who was killed 3 years ago. They're pretty much the same, and we ironize and mock our elections as well. But honestly, still, I'm very glad that we have elections, unlike a democratic neighbor state of Ukraine that canceled their elections. And and I'm also glad that there is a new candidate from the New People Party. So, yeah, I voted for Davankov. Don't get started. Don't call me a lib just yet. I will explain it to you why I did that. So, who is Davankov? He's a 40-year-old businessman who was one of the authors of the bill that prohibits gender transition in Russia, which is pretty based in my book. He has a massive forehead, and he's the only young person in the list. Also, he's under all of the sanctions, so he's not like a foreign agent or anything like that. I genuinely liked his program, in that he promised to return direct elections of mayors in the regions, and which is a huge thing for me, because I despise my local mayor, Orlov, he's a degenerate two-man freak who doesn't do anything. The roads are a mess, nothing gets done. There's ice and dirt everywhere. And it was better with the previous mayor. And because we can't elect our mayors, this is why my city right now looks like a pile of dirt. So yeah, I'm very passionate about the local politics, and Putin is clearly not interested in letting me vote for my mayor, right? So why should I support that? It's very simple. And also, I have a conspiratorial reasoning why I did that, because I subscribe to a fringe theory that the Tsar is good and the boyars are bad. But I know it's a bit out there, but hear me out. So Putin is held hostage by a Russian deep state. He wants to get out, but he can't. He's not allowed to. So by voting for Davankov, I will offer him a chance to get out. I will explain myself later, but honestly, kind of believe that. So what about you, Kirill? Who did you support, voted for?
I was too lazy to go vote this year. I am generally a non-voter. I think our commander-in-chief will manage to win the elections even without my support. I understand your reasoning for voting for Davankov. And yeah. In general, I am somewhat suspicious of the New People Party because of their ties to like some, shady economic people. But overall, it is understandable. It's the party platform is all right. They're kind of like
right, liberal, something. But
yeah, so something like libertarian, conservative libertarian, I guess, and pro-regionalism, anti-bureaucracy and things like that. So all these things are, pretty good. They represent, they regard their social base as like small business owners and so on. And so, yeah, it's like not terrible or anything, but I guess I have a different view of the election in general. Like, I would say that the election in Russia is kind of like a poll, an opinion poll that the government uses to determine whether they should continue course, whether they should move to the left a bit, whether they should move to the right a bit. I also like how some people came like wearing costumes. Did you see those videos? Like people dressed as Peter the Great and Stalin. I thought that was very funny because they are correctly interpreting the election as kind of a lighthearted ritual. Expression of communal national feeling, somewhat silly ritual.
No, I really liked that. Really, it lifted my spirits. And also, they did entice people to vote, actually. On the regional level, there is a special thing, quizzes with prizes, that motivate people to vote. For example, in my region, people are being awarded medals for voting and for answering four questions about the history of the region, of the factories, of the Urals and all that. About the who founded the city, who founded this factory and the other. And I've gotten a medal, a gold medal, participating in the elections, which is cute, I would say. And the funny thing is that Davankov, he's a number first on the ballots, which is it's very interesting. Why do you think he's the number first? Is it just because alphabetically?
Yeah, I think it's sorted by alphabet. That would make sense.
Makes sense, yeah.
To make it neutral.
Yeah.
It is anecdotal, but from like the people I know, and at least half a dozen people who are usually non-voters like me, did go vote this year and voted for Putin, mostly out of spite. I guess, because the Ukrainians tried to disrupt the election. with the reactions on the border, the attacks on voting booths in Kherson Oblast and so on, the attacks on Belgrade Oblast, which were clearly meant to disrupt the election, so they could they tried to enter some village on old Russian Federation territory and to say that they occupy it. I find it sort of admirable how serious the Russian government is about the election. Precisely for this reason, because of the border attacks, they did early voting in those border areas. And they had the people in the villages that are near the border, they had them voting a few days early, simply. So if there were any massive attacks, the election process wouldn't be disrupted.
Yeah, but I also heard that there was an election in Kharkiv Oblast.
Yes. Yeah. The Kharkiv military civil administration still exists. We control, 7 or 8, I think, settlements in Kharkiv Oblast, and the people there could vote also.
Formerly, they're not part of the Russian Federation.
But there are also number plates for Kharkiv Oblast. I think it's 188. Yeah, I think that was it.
Oh.
Yeah, regional code.
Yeah, interesting. So is Kharkiv the same, is it the same as Donetsk Oblast? I think it's not.
There was no formal referendum, so yeah.
But yeah, I actually like that. Legally, it's questionable, but still.
I mean, if the residents are Russian citizens, if they were given passports, then...
Yeah. Well, yeah, people go vote everywhere, like in Kazakhstan, in America, or wherever. It makes sense. So, all right, let me tell you about my theory, conspiratorial theory, that Putin is a prisoner. Who is Putin? He's not a bloodthirsty tyrant. That much we know, right? He's not a madman. He's a calm, smooth operator type, maybe way too secretive at times, but not malicious or vengeful. And let's review two weird things that happened in the last 10 years, specifically two murders that brought about many accusations of the man. Prigozhin and Nemtsov. Nemtsov was killed in 2015 by illiterate Chechen killers on a big bridge over Moskva River. And people who hired those Chechens are not named to this day. So Chechens are in prison, but who hired them? It's clear as day that it wasn't their idea. Because the people still not named, it's safe to say that it's probably not CIA or SBU, because why wouldn't the investigators just pin the blame on SBU or CIA, right? Most likely did it, and Putin was blamed for it. That's pretty much what I think about it. What is weird is that Nemtsov was irrelevant. He couldn't organize not even a political party, but a birthday party. He was a political corpse banging Ukrainian prostitutes. No one respected him. No one wanted him dead, apart from for personal petty reasons. I would be, in the place of Putin, extremely mad if my reputation that I carefully tried to maintain was tarnished by retarded because it was international news and people started, yeah, of course, a despotic madman kills a brave opposition leader. It's bad. It's a bad look for... But Putin played it cool, as if nothing has happened, as if he was not blamed for yet another weird murder that he certainly is not responsible for, because he's not a madman, because madmen do not rule countries. There was Prigozhin. Prigozhin was can we call him a personal friend of Putin?
Well, that's hard to say. We don't really know much about their personal relationship.
He's also from Peter. They go.
I mean, they knew each other. They knew each other, but
they were colleagues and pretty close colleagues. They enjoyed not only fine dining but decolonization of Africa. So, and I would imagine that they were quite close. And we all know the story. Prigozhin organized Wagner. They took Bakhmut, Solidar. and he decided to march on Moscow as he was out to arrest Shoigu. But then he was stopped by Lukashenko. Then, when we discussed that as it happened, it was so weird. We couldn't really put any theory around it, or because doesn't it sound just plain weird? He was out to get Shoigu and then was stopped by Lukashenko. It doesn't make sense. There needs to be some theory about it. And my theory is that, let's recall those days. Putin did not name Prigozhin's name when he recorded the video message pleading Wagner to stop their march. And then Lukashenko intervened, and 2 months later, Prigozhin was fucking... That's enough for a free segment. The full episode is available for our glorious allies on Patreon and Gumroad. See you there.